I'm very happy now to welcome back to the program Ben Swan. He's with the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society. And Hannah Padilla, owner of Santa Fe Tales. She's a certified dog trainer. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Hey, welcome. Mary Charlotte. Great to see you. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's a great pleasure. And we're getting, what is it, about a monthly update now on the Edgewood dog hoarding case.
Yeah, our lead hoarding case in Edgewood. As everybody, just to briefly bring people up to speed, we in early April, we got about 48 dogs from a alleged hoarding case in April. A lot of the dogs were unsocialized and had a lot of trouble in the shelter environment. A few weeks later, I'd say a month and a half or 2 months later, the woman did relinquish all but 10 of those dogs and gave us legal custody to fix them, basically medically or behaviorally.
And now, did she take those 10 back home?
No, they are still at the shelter. She is paying bond on those, and she will not have custody of those animals until the trial's outcome.
Ah, okay.
And then I think most people realize that we weren't able to spay or neuter any of those dogs. Six of those dogs had puppies, which meant that the total population from the hoarding case hit 82.
Good heavens.
Yeah. It was a terrible thing. It's been a difficult time for us, but we are mostly out of it. And I want to say that people have been very supportive. The community has been there the whole step of the way. And when these Edgewood dogs became available, we adopted a dozen in like with 3 days. Now, one of the partnerships that we had that made it possible for us to help these dogs is with Joey and Hannah at Santa Fe Tales. We've had a long relationship with them. They're very supportive of community animals, of the shelter dogs, and of dogs in our community. And they kenneled or were boarded, I don't know, about a dozen or so dogs when it was so crowded at the shelter that we just needed to make space. They took some of our regular dogs and boarded them. And they do that often when we're overcrowded. And we had something that's called the Tails Taxi, where some of the dogs who need socialization will go over there for a day, like a spa day. And really, no, seriously, and just to have a break from the shelter and enjoy themselves. So five of those dogs that we still have, we have adopted almost everyone, I think about seven. There's a few puppies left. But five of those dogs just do not do well at the shelter. Every time we bring them back to the shelter, they break down. It's amazing. And one of the reasons why I just thought it was so important that people in the community know about how great canine socialization and doggy daycare is that a friend of mine went over to help me bring these dogs back to Santa Fe Tales from the shelter. And within 2 minutes, these dogs were back to normal. They were just tails wagging, happy. They just, you know, they have some issues, but they just really loved. It's just hard for some dogs. At any rate, these dogs are available at Santa Fe Tales for adoption.
So, yeah, let's talk about that. I mean, when you've got dogs who have been in a situation like that, the hoarding case, some of them do well in the shelter, some of them don't do so well. We don't exactly know why, do we? One kind of dog does and doesn't. But when they don't, what's it like for them in the shelter? Are they just anxious?
I think basically the environments are different. The context from the shelter to our facility, it's just different. And it's not, even coming from the hoarding case where they were, nobody knows what that context was either. So at Santa Fe Tales, these dogs are able to, have choice to come to you, run to you, let you touch them, pet them, or not. I think also in our context at Santa Fe Tales, there's other dogs around who are confident and comfortable and relaxed, not stressed out, versus being at the shelter in a kennel by themselves, getting no feedback from, other animals except, that they can't see. So I think just the contexts are different. And I think with the dogs at Santa Fe Tales, these Edgewood dogs, they're absolutely wonderful, sweet, fabulous, but they've come with issues,
right?
Obviously coming from this hoarding case. We're able to work with them slowly. It's a progression of how their abilities get to increase every day. Right now we are trying to, on a daily basis, pick them up and hold them so that we can maybe by next week give them baths.
Right. One step at a time. What is Santa Fe Tales?
Santa Fe Tales is a doggy daycare training and boarding facility here in Santa Fe. My husband and I are both certified dog trainers, and both are from Santa Fe, and came back to Santa Fe about 5 years ago, and there weren't great places here. So we decided to open up a doggy daycare and boarding facility.
So in the animal shelter, each doggy has its own little kennel. And that's something actually I've always wanted to ask you about. How come you don't put two dogs together who might get along?
We actually do. We do pair them depending on if they get along well together. So it really depends on the dog. If the dog wants to be with somebody, actually that's really great. I wanted to point out that a lot of dogs gain confidence from being around other dogs, and they learn good skills. They can also learn bad skills, but generally they learn really just to trust themselves, trust people, and just be dogs. You know, a lot of the dogs are so scared that they don't want to be a dog. They just want to hide. So we do pair them. We do have play groups. We have every week we have something called Tres Amigos or Cuatro Amigos, depending on how many are there. They go out in the dog park and play. Yeah, and that's one of our goals at the shelter, is to create more of an environment like that where these dogs can have more, you know, dog-to-dog reactivity is one of our biggest problems at the shelter, almost every shelter. And we want to be able to work through that, through these kind of things that Hannah and Joey are teaching us, really, honestly, about how canine socialization is so critical.
Now, you have this doggy daycare center, so on any given day, how many dogs are in the place?
Monday through Friday, our average is well over 100.
Good heavens. Are they all together?
Yeah. We don't breed discriminate. We don't size discriminate. Basically, what Joey and I tell our clients is we temperament discriminate. Every single dog needs to undergo a temperament evaluation. And once they pass the evaluation, then they can come to daycare. Our boarding facility is the same thing. We don't do any straight boarding. We don't just put a dog in a kennel and take them out twice a day. They are in the daycare population during the whole entire day and then in their suite at night.
So it's like day camp and summer camp.
Mm-hmm.
And they are playing. As we know, a tired dog is a happy dog.
And I can
attest that a couple of my dogs have gone to the daycare, and they just are so much happier when they have that opportunity just to be around other dogs and not play.
Now, what is the role of the adult, of the human, in when you've got 100 dogs playing with each other?
Sure. We have every single employee basically... their job description is babysitter. Every single dog at Santa Fe Tales is somebody's baby. And so your job description is not just doggy daycare attendant watching them. It is facilitating who wants to play, who doesn't want to play, who wants to just sleep in the sun and sunbathe, who wants to be inside and curl up in a corner and sleep and not have any interaction with the other dogs. And that, so we're constantly facilitating the energy and the temperament of everybody. So, you know, right before I came here, we were taking the dogs who get very anxious at this time of day because mom and dad are coming to get them. We take them into another area so they can't see into the lobby and get excited and freaked out every single time they see one single person walk through the lobby.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's really a group dynamic that is always changing. It's never the same. And at a sequence.
Do you have to deal with conflicts?
Absolutely. I mean, there's not to say that every dog out there is going to like every single dog that they meet is not realistic, just like people. You know, you don't walk into the grocery store and go and get your groceries and invite every single person you see and meet at the grocery store home for dinner. It's unrealistic, but we expect this of our dogs. And so in our daycare situation, during their temperament evaluation, we're evaluating their tolerance and flexibility to withstand this group dynamic.
We're talking to Hannah Padilla and Ben Swan about dog training and dog care and the Edgewood dog case. Now, all these dogs have been adopted out and all these new dogs have come into being.
That's true.
You're just basically trying to catch up. But how many dogs of the Edgewood dogs have you actually been able to adopt out to families?
Almost all of them, yeah. That we have custody of have been able to find great families.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And so these last remaining ones are up for adoption?
This is an example of what we try to do, at the shelter. There we have you know, we have those dogs that we call that are adopted within 30 seconds, 27 seconds. And then we have these dogs that are with us for months or even years. They're not given a chance. And these dogs, because a lot of them don't present well, some of them are just, they look like they might not, they might be difficult, but they're not. We're very careful about our dogs that we, you know, the dogs that have trouble, we work with them. We work through their behaviors. We foster them. We give them a lot of chances. And these five, who are all have superhero names, thanks to the Santa Fe Tail staff, and they really are superheroes to survive this, the atmosphere they were in the hoarding case, and to be full of joy and love still is just amazing. It's a phenomenal success.
And what are their superhero names?
Well, we got all the male dogs first, and so we decided to name all the male dogs superhero names.
Superman, and Batman,
and Captain America, and then we got the females afterward, and we named them all princess names. So we have Princess Fiona and Cinderella.
It's very sweet, and their names really match. And I want to say that they've taken more than these five throughout these last few months, and they actually have found homes for some of these dogs. And a lot of people don't realize that these wonderful dogs are at Santa Fe Tails waiting to be adopted. And Joey or Hannah just told me today that they're going to be able to bring at least one dog every Saturday at one of our offsite adoption events, so people can actually get to know them a bit better.
Oh, okay.
But people can also visit Santa Fe Tails.
Where is Santa Fe Tails?
Anytime. We're off of St. Michael's Drive and 5th Street behind Bank of America, the big Bank of America building.
Oh, okay.
People are amazed when they see it. Now, I'm one of the fortunate few. Maybe they let other people go in there and just wander around with all the dogs. It feels like I'm at home because, you know, I have so many dogs. It doesn't matter anything. So,
how many dogs do you have?
Well, I have five now.
Oh, okay.
And four birds. So, I feel like I'm in a doggy daycare sometimes.
What are some of the, when we talk about dog training, what are some of the main mistakes that people make with dog training?
I would say the expectations set about their dog, who that dog is supposed to be, versus just seeing the dog for who they are. What are they giving you? Do they pull on the leash? Are they over 35 pounds and are going to take you down if they're pulling on the leash? Versus us going, your dog, you should walk on the leash beautifully, and this is how it is. I would say probably second, it's communication. Communication between the human and the dog. We don't speak dog, and they don't speak English.
They speak English.
Yeah.
Well, they understand English.
Well, they understand body language more. I mean, if you were absolutely mute, they would understand you beautifully as well. So it's communicating those rules and expectations you have too. I think it's that bridge that, you know, we expect dogs to be perfect immediately. We expect them to get it immediately. But it's, you know, time is of essence always, and correct communication. And we fumble the communication a lot. It's jumbled, it's mixed up, and it's not always clear.
We give them mixed messages.
Exactly.
It's not clear.
We're not consistent. And the expectations thing is something that really it has an impact on us with our matchmaking abilities. A lot of times, you don't know what the dog will turn out to be 3 or 4 weeks later. We had this one match. We thought it was beautiful, perfect. It was a pit bull mix, and it was a great dog, and the woman really loved the dog. But she wanted a dog that barked, and this dog didn't bark. So, but yeah,
clearly it wasn't a dachshund.
No. Well, the funny thing is about dogs, they will bark. A lot of dogs won't bark initially. They don't know what their role is. And then they'll start, and then you don't want them to bark. So it's funny, you know, I just recently moved out to Pecos, and in El Dorado, where I used to live, people were always complaining about dogs barking. And now in Pecos, where I live, they're saying, like, oh, great, your dogs bark. They'll protect you from the bears, which I thought was really interesting.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah,
Different context.
Well, there are some dogs that are, as usual, up for adoption, some other dogs and cats at the Santa Fe Animal Shelter.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte, for bringing that up. Yes, and we have this great special going on right now. We're calling it Name Your Own Price for Love. It's basically people can come in for an older dog or a 4 months and older and name their own adoption fee.
So I can buy me love.
You can buy your love. And I brought Topaz because I thought you'd like this little kind of golden retriever kind of mixed dog.
Topaz is a retriever shepherd mix of some kind who is the cutest thing ever and is a year old. and is a spayed female.
Yeah, she'd be a great dog. You know, Golden Retriever mixes are generally just really wonderful dogs. A little high energy a lot of times, a little obsessive compulsive.
Golden
sometimes.
Retrievers are the most loving dogs
they can be.
The entire universe. And you've also got a kitty.
Some felines, yes. We have some great cats right now at the shelter. Not a lot, but we do have a lot of kittens. And I brought
Kittens are cute.
Mouse.
So cute. There's a cat named Mouse, ladies and gentlemen. It will create confusion among the literal. But it's a little gray and white tabby who it's 2 months old. I can't even stand it. I think I'm going to faint from sugar
<Some cuteness.
laughs> overload.
We do. On our Facebook page, we often say, okay, watch out for the cuteness because this will get you. And it usually does. Kittens usually do, and puppies do, and kids and puppies. Oh, my gosh. There it goes. But anyway, we have a lot of kittens right now. And we have some just phenomenally social felines that are just waiting for great homes.
Excellent. So all this is happening at the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society, which is on the web at sfhumanesociety.org. And what is the website of Santa Fe Tales?
It's santafetales.com.
All right. T-A-I-L-S.
Yes.
And Hannah Padilla is the co-owner of Santa Fe Tales and also certified dog trainer Ben Swan with the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe. Maybe we'll get a couple more updates as the hoarding case goes on.
Well, yes, we still have the 10 dogs, and the case is still going on, but we can definitely tell people how we get a lot of photos of people just very happy with the dogs they've adopted from the Edgewick case. So thank you, Mary Shaw, for having us on.
Thank you for being with us. And I'd like now to welcome Jason Silverman. He is with the CCA, the Center for Contemporary Arts, in Santa Fe, where he's director of the Cinematheque. Welcome.
I'm glad to be here.
Good to have you, too. And Diana Delling, speaking of the arts, she's with the Lensic Santa Fe's Performing Arts Center.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning to you. Now, what's happening? We just want to have Jason on because there's a whole bunch of stuff happening at the CCA. Some openings this weekend?
There's a lot happening this weekend. It's like a little multiplex with our two screens. We've got a comedy series happening in the mornings with these restored silent films. Actually, one's not silent. It's called Masters of Comedy, and it's curated by all these great preservationists, an international group. And it's really delightful. It's at 11 o'clock each morning.
Do people tend to go to the movies that early?
If it's something worth seeing.
Yeah.
Yeah, people do. And this is a family thing, so I think families go over after the farmer's market and check it out and get the first popcorn for brunch.
Right, right.
And then we have a film called Pandora's Promise, which is going to be controversial in Santa Fe because it advocates for nuclear power. And it's a really provocative film, and I think there'll be some people who disagree with the film there, passing out flyers. But it's a very thoughtful piece, and there has been a lot of back and forth about it in the press, pros and cons. So there's a lot of heat around this film.
How did you choose to bring that one?
I watched it, and I was, I had already made my mind up to dislike it and to disagree with it when I went in, and by the time I came out, I had, deepened my opinion of the matter. It's more complicated than one might think.
Interesting. So Pandora's Promise is happening. What else is going on over there?
We have an Israeli film called Fill the Void, which is a really powerful kind of chamber.
I read the review of that. That looks very interesting.
It's fantastic. We did an event with the Santa Fe Jewish Film Festival last night. It was sold out and then some. And so there's a lot of interest in this film. And then we've got some films holding that are fantastic. 20 Feet from Stardom, which is the untold story of backup singers who, they're the ones we sing along to when we're in the car, right? The backup singers.
We sing the background parts.
Exactly.
Hoping nobody notices how bad we are.
Yeah, and it's a really moving, fun film. We're still playing Hava Nagila, which has been one of the biggest surprises to me in memory. People just keep on coming and coming to that film. It's a lot of fun. Much Ado About Nothing, which is another huge crowd pleaser, and which I love. I think it's my favorite Shakespeare adaptation.
And it's a new one, right?
Yeah, it's by Joss Whedon, who did Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Firefly and Serenity, and then The Avengers. And he took a break for a month from The Avengers, which is this, $800 million movie, whatever. And to get his head back where he wanted to be, he invited a bunch of his actor friends over to his mansion in Santa Monica, and they started running lines, and they decided to just film it. And
oh
they did
goodness.
This really lovely, it's a smart, lovely Much Ado. It's a piece. It's a great piece.
I know people who have seen it twice, several people.
Really
enjoy it, yeah.
Oh, it's
at the CCA.
And the theater is continuously full. And
it's one of those ones like the Leonardo DiCaprio Romeo and Juliet where they're wearing modern clothes and all that.
So, you know, cell phones and modern clothes and YouTube, and it's fantastic.
Oh my goodness. And when it's like that, I don't know why this is, but somehow even though they're completely reading Elizabethan English, somehow you understand it better if they're wearing stuff that looks like what we wear.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
we get it. So it's a lot of fun. There's cupcakes in it. Yeah, so it's great fun. It's a really great. We're having a great run over there. All kinds of good stuff.
Excellent. Well, we look forward to featuring your films again from the CCA on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. You bring the best films anywhere. Well, you guys in the screen, but it's really an incredible theater. It's one of the jewels of Santa Fe.
Well, thanks. Well, there's so many people who love good movies in this town. It just makes it easy to show them. So.
Excellent. Well, Jason Silverman, thank you for being with us on the Radio Cafe. Anything else before we go?
That's all I need. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. Well, we'll see you soon.
See you at the
Jason
CCA.
Jason Silverman from the CCA. And Diana Delling, hi.
Hi. Good to see you.
Nice to see you, too.
We've got a lot going on at the Lenzik as well. It's hard to pull yourself away from CCA, but when you do, please come to the Lenzik. Tonight, Aspen Santa Fe Ballet has a program tonight and tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Aspen Santa Fe is performing two world premieres, one by Spanish choreographer Caventano Soto and one by Norbert de la Cruz III. Norbert just won the prestigious Princess Grace Award for choreography.
They're amazing.
They are amazing. If you love ballet, you'll like them. If you're new to ballet, I think you'll like them too, because it's really, in my unprofessional dance opinion, it's a combination of contemporary and more classical work. It's really fun, so I hope to see everybody there.
Excellent.
It's also Folk Art Market Weekend, of course, and I think Santa Fe's filled with extra people and some from all over the world here to go to the market, which starts tonight with an opening gala. It opens to the public tomorrow morning, and you can go early, which I have never done, but I may this year. You can go early from 7:30 to 9:30, buy a ticket then. Beat the crowds, beat the heat, and kind of get first dibs on all the good stuff.
Yeah, lots of good stuff at Folk Art Market. Excellent. Well, we have, ladies and gentlemen, of course, a cat of the week.
We missed that while you were gone.
You didn't do it. Oh, I wonder if she sent them. It's time to, let's see, Felines and Friends is featuring a little kitty called Cleo. Cleo had a rough start in life. She was found nearly dead from starvation and exposure. She's been nursed back to health and would do best with other kind and gentle cats and dogs. She's a little small cat with a short gray coat and tabby markings and a white chin, belly, and socks. That sounds cute.
What's her name again?
Cleo.
Cleo.
And if you would like to adopt her, you can call Felines and Friends at 316-2281, or you can go to fandfnm.org. That stands for Felines and Friends, New Mexico. Also, they take them to Petco Thursdays through Sundays at from 1 to 4, and at Tecatu in San Busco, first Saturday of every month, 10 to 2.
So hard to walk by when you're in one of those places and not want to take home a cat, or when they have dog days, dogs.
I know. I would, if I succumbed to temptation, I would have probably 40 dogs.
I would, like, too.
And then they'd arrest me and be this Edgewood thing all over again.
Edgewood all over again. Art Santa Fe is this weekend.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's right, because they always happen the same time as Folk Art Market.
I think so. And it kind of gives us an even broader variety of things, to types of art to see this weekend. Art Santa Fe, of course, is an international contemporary art fair. It features galleries from around the world as well, just like Folk Art Market has worldwide representation. At the International Contemporary Art Fair, Art Santa Fe, which is at the Santa Fe Community Convention Center, we've got galleries from Asia, Europe, Latin America. There's some from Japan and Moscow, I know that. We also have some local galleries represented, including Charlotte Jackson and Zane Bennett and Jane Sauer.
All of them amazing. I love those three Santa Fe galleries.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I do, too. And I know this weekend, today, tomorrow, and Sunday, and I know that earlier in the week, Zaylee spoke with this gentleman, Robert Whitman, a former special agent in the FBI on the art crime team, and he's doing a reading Saturday night at 6:30 from his new book called Priceless, How I Went Undercover to Rescue the World's Stolen Treasures. And you can get more information on all this at artsantafe.com.
And if it gets really hot at Folk Art, this is what I've done in the past, you just go down to the convention center, which is nice and air-conditioned.
Exactly, because Folk Art Market can get hot midday. But there's usually, there are good drinks, lemonade and things like that to sip on while you're there.
Excellent.
Just bring a hat, bring some sun coverage. I want to talk about something that's next Saturday, if I can, so it's a little ahead of time.
Sure.
It's at the Lensic, and it's called Kicking a Dead Horse. This is a Sam Shepard play. It'll be performed by Fusion Theater, the great company from Albuquerque. It will be at the Lensic next Saturday, July 20th at 2 and 8. And it's the story, back with the art theme, of an art dealer from Manhattan who kind of turns away from his profession to explore, you know, what he's been missing in life. He takes a trip in the Southwest desert and finds himself stranded. His horse dies, in fact, which is how they got the name Kicking a Dead Horse. He's stranded in the desert, and he explores what the choices that he's made that have brought him to this place in life. This stars Paul Blott, who's an Albuquerque resident, and I don't know that local Santa Fe and Sam Shepard will be there, but it would be nice if he came to check out Fusion's production of this play.
Yeah, we've had a lot of Sam Shepard in town lately.
We have.
Because they did Buried, Ironweed did Buried Child not too long ago.
He's obviously a wonderful playwright, Pulitzer Prize winner.
Shout out to the Santa Fe Institute. If you see Sam around, tell him about the Fusion.
Come on down.
Fusion does a good job.
They do. They're an excellent company. And this one's directed by one of their co-founders, Lori Thomas.
Oh, okay.
It should be really good. I think I can't wait to see it. And tickets are available at the Lensic box office or online at ticketsantafe.com, or you can call 505-988-1234.
And I got a note from the Steve Elmore Indian Art Gallery, which is at 839 Paseo de Peralta. It's in that little complex where I think it's called Act 2 Clothing. And
Is it on Guadalupe or downtown?
No, it's maybe I'm getting the name wrong. It's on Paseo.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It's the Harvey Building. Anyway, you drive in there. But Steve Elmore is also a painter, and he's got a show of his own paintings called Sacred Serpents and Fire Trees, and the opening reception is today from 5 to 7. And you can go to elmoreindianart.com.
Here's something fun. The Santa Fe Independent Film Festival is presenting the Rocky Horror Picture Show in the Rail Yard.
Oh, my goodness.
Let me make sure I have the date right. It's Saturday. It's tomorrow night. It starts at 8 o'clock, I believe. Let me make sure I have that right. It starts at when it gets dark, and there's an after party at the Rouge Cat. And, of course, somewhere online I have seen they have a whole set of instructions for those of you who are new to the show, new to the movie, about what kind of food products, et cetera, you might bring along, your rice, your toast, whatever, and when to throw it, what to say when. Kind of gives you the whole outline of how to be a participatory viewer of the film, and it's a costume contest as well.
Oh my goodness, that they had that way back when I was in college. People go to the Rocky Horror Picture Show and throw stuff.
I
and
remember
all that.
That midnight showings.
It's
the rest
it is
of it.
Fun. It's the only participatory movie I can really think of. Is there any
I
other
think
movie
you're right.
people do that?
Not deliberately.
Not so
in mass.
Formally, yeah,
right.
In mass, exactly.
Let me say for more info on that, in case I didn't give you enough, it's SantaFeIndependentFilmFestival.com. It's an easy one.
Excellent. Now, the Santa Fe Master Gardeners is having a free Let's Grow series, and in this month's class, you can learn everything you need to know about watering your garden from, large-scale to simple ollas next to your plants. And it's tomorrow, July 13th. You can drop in any time from 9 to 11. It's the County Fairgrounds, which is on Rodeo Road right here in Santa Fe.
I think the Master Gardeners Association is really cool. My friend Christine Salem is involved in that, and I believe she is a Master Gardener.
Uh-huh.
They're a great resource if people want to learn more about gardening here in Santa Fe, which can be difficult because of our altitude and, obviously, lack of water.
Yeah.
So I think they're a great group.
People are doing a good job, though.
Yeah, gardening. I agree.
What was the website again?
It's the initials of the organization, so sfmga.org, Santa Fe Master Gardener Association, their initials, .org.
Excellent.
And I hope people come to their gardening workshop tomorrow.
Okay. So let's see. What else is happening? That one is coming up in the future. We will have stuff from the El Dorado Children's Theater and Teen Players, but we'll just tease you with that because it's not happening quite yet.
It's always fun when there are young people doing these plays.
Yeah.
I can tell you about the New Mexico Jazz Festival, which continues.
Yeah.
And it's such a great series, which is put on, I have to say, by the Lensic, by Outpost Performance Space in Albuquerque, and by the Santa Fe Jazz Foundation. Tonight, down in Albuquerque at Outpost, is a Brazilian jazz band. Sounds like Mary Charlotte might like it. Trio de Paz.
Yep. Yeah.
Are you familiar with them?
Oh, yeah. They're great. I'm going to try to go down there.
Great. Tickets? There are a few tickets left. I heard it's selling really, really well.
Uh-huh.
But it's at Outpost in Albuquerque, and it starts at 8. Next Thursday, there's Arlen Asher and Straight Up will be playing. He's one of New Mexico's longstanding jazz luminaries, and that'll be at Outpost as well.
And we hear him on KSFR.
Yeah, KSFR is a great supporter of the Jazz Fest and plays all of this music. The Yellow Jackets will be at Highland Theater next Friday. And at the Lensic on the 21st, we have Stanley Clark. On the 26th, we have Terrence Blanchard and Lionel Lewecki. And then on the 27th, we have, I love this guy, Eddie Palmieri.
Eddie Palmieri. I'm going to try to get him on the air.
Band. I hope, yeah.
He's been around forever. He's been around since the 70s, is an amazing musician and leader in the salsa and Latin jazz community.
Really fun. Yeah, I hope people go to that too. And all this is listed. And in addition to a bunch of free events, Larry Mitchell and the Miltones will be playing in the plaza in the next week, I believe. You can get all this information at NewMexicoJazzFestival.org.
Right.
And please check it out. Performances at the Outpost, at the Lensic, in the plaza, in Old Town, in Albuquerque, all over town, all over both towns.
Excellent. So we've heard about what's happening at the CCA. Do we know what's happening at the Screen? Or I'll just, you know what, you go on, I'll just find that right now.
I can tell people about the Santa Fe Chamber Music Festival, which is kicking off its 41st season this Sunday. And it's a 6-week festival that happens every summer here in Santa Fe with lots of concerts, chamber music concerts, youth events. People come in and play from all over the country and the world. Chamber music is, I used to not be so familiar with chamber music, but I've really grown to like it now that I've learned more about it.
Yeah.
Sunday, the whole festival kicks out at the St. Francis Auditorium on West Palace at the museum. It's with a performance called Tchaikovsky and Russian Romance. Tickets are available at the Santa Fe Chamber Music Festival or at Ticket Santa Fe 988-1234. It starts at 6 p.m. There are events throughout the next 6 weeks, so it's definitely worth checking out.
And Chamber Music Festival is an amazing phenomenon organization.
Definitely.
They get some of the world's best musicians coming to play in Santa Fe, and people love coming here to play. And they always have a composer. I've been away for a little bit, and so I usually have the wonderful Steven Ovitsky on the air talking about it, and maybe we'll get him on in a little bit. But they always have a living composer who is here, and usually a new piece and things like that. So Santa Fe, and of course the old classics.
Yeah, and some of the concerts are at night, some are at noon, I see. So it's easy to find time, or it's easier to find time when you have a variety of times and places and things to check out like that.
Yeah.
Chamber music, I don't know if I said it, Santa Fe Chamber Music Festival is at sfcmf.org.
And at the exactly, okay. Now, at the Screen, which is the movie theater on the campus of the Santa Fe University of Art and Design, we have a movie called Augustine, a powerful and darkly sensual drama, which is based on the true story of the unusual relationship between Dr. Jean-Martin Charcot, the pioneering 19th century French neurologist and mentor Sigmund Freud, and mentor to Sigmund Freud, and his star teenage patient, Augustine. And so it's basically a 19-year-old kitchen maid who has this crazy seizure and gets treated by this doctor. So this is
Whoa.
I know. psychological drama.
Between the screen and the CCA, I mean, you could go to a movie every night and
you don't have to be yourself. You don't have to be in New York or Los Angeles or any place. You just stay right here.
You're right. Thanks to Jason again, who is no longer here, but he brings in the good movies.
His computer's still here.
Oh. He's here somewhere.
He's here somewhere in the cafe. And Peter Grendel over at the screen, who does a terrific job. And, of course, the great Brent Cleaver, who is the kind of curatorial colossus over at the screen.
We're very lucky. Here's good film town.
Indeed. Now, Hijacking is another film. It's about the cargo ship MV Rosen, which is heading for harbor when it's hijacked by Somali pirates in the Indian Ocean. So that's that drama, and it's a probably real thriller movie called The Stories We Tell, which is a genre-twisting new film, Oscar-nominated writer-director Sarah Polley discovers that the truth depends on who's telling it. Kind of, maybe it's a Rashomon kind of thing, don't know.
It's supposed to be fantastic. Several people have told me that. Sarah Polley does a great job. I think her mother passed away when she was younger, and she's trying to kind of piece her story together, so she interviews family members and friends and others.
Oh, it's a documentary?
I believe so, and I hope I'm not wrong.
Oh, my goodness.
I hope I'm not wrong.
Very interesting. Somebody reviewed it, and they said it's a mystery uncovered like a detective story wrapped in a love letter.
How can you beat that?
And then Hannah Arendt is yet another movie there, and director Margaret von Trotta is in that, and it's a biopic of Hannah Arendt. So that sounds like a good one. And then, of course, Romeo and Juliet is opening with the Bolshoi Ballet. That's presumably a high-definition film, and what else can you say? Romeo and Juliet, Bolshoi Ballet, can't go wrong.
No.
It's all at the screen.
Seriously, and as you said earlier, on these hot days, go take in some great film and get a little cooled off.
Get a little cooled off.
Now, it's flamenco season. It's always flamenco season, but it's sort of flamenco high season, it seems. Flamenco is beginning, or is continuing, at El Farol on Canyon Road. It's July 5th through August 11th. Tuesday through Sunday evenings at 7, there's a flamenco show featuring Joaquin Encinas. You might know these people. I do not. Marisol Encinas, Vicente Griego, Ricardo Angelada, and more. It's the American Flamenco Repertory Company. It's a dinner show, so you get dinner. And
flamenco, yes, it is a great way to watch flamenco.
Agreed. And then there's Juan Cidi Flamenco Theater Company, who is performing at the Lodge all summer long through September 1st. He's wonderful, a young guy who's been in Santa Fe for several seasons now and has a great, great company that's at the Lodge. You can find out about him at Juan Cidi, Siddi Flamenco.com.
Juan Cidi Flamenco, yeah. Never, can't get too much of that kind of dance. We have a lot of dance going on, whether it's on high definition or on stage right in front of you.
We really do, and I hope people take advantage of it, that we have so much great stuff this summer.
Definitely.
There is a book called Bombshell. It was written by James Reich. He's contributing faculty member at the Santa Fe University of Art and Design. And this is a book he wrote 25 years after the Chernobyl disaster. He wrote a novel as the reporter says, is a thrilling, if not eerie, reminder of the very real threat that nuclear power poses. And I don't remember the name of the film, Jason.
Pandora's Promise.
Yeah, so it's a different animal.
Different take
again,
on that.
The nuclear topic. And James Reich will be doing a reading from his book at Collected Works this week. It is Tuesday at 6 o'clock. It's a free, and he will do a reading and answer questions, as usual, at the Collected Works events, which are always fun and a great way to learn more about the people who are writing these books that are so good and available here in town.
Exactly. Now, also at Collected Works Bookstore, Farmer's Market guest appearance, George Ancona, on his lovely children's book called It's Our Garden, and that's from 9 to 11, so I guess they'll be doing stuff over at the Farmer's Market. And then Journey Santa Fe is always on Sunday mornings, and they are doing a celebration of French Independence Bastille Day, because Bastille Day is the 14th, which I guess is this Sunday.
This Sunday, you're right.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that a fireworks kind of a day in over in France? I believe it is.
I don't know. I've never been there on Bastille. I've barely ever been there ever, but I don't know how they celebrate Bastille Day.
We can probably celebrate it any way we want to. We could go to one of our great French restaurants.
Yeah, I think eating would be my choice. French.
I agree.
But on Bastille Day at Collected Works, join François-Marie Patomi, Céline Leplouard-Cam, and Javier Grenet as they share information on French history, culture, politics, and the great French love of food. So, once again, they say break out your beret, and but you can't, and smoke your jalousie, those horrible unfiltered French cigarettes, but you're not allowed to smoke them in the bookstore. So that's Galisteo on the corner of Water Street here in Santa Fe, Collected Works.
And if you're going to celebrate Bastille Day, you want to do it with someone named Francois. I know that,
exactly.
That for a fact. Music on the Hill continues this week, too. That's the great free
Yay.
Summer series at St. John's College. Wednesday evenings from 6 to 8 on the athletic field. They've got free concerts. And this week on Wednesday, July 17th, it's the John Pruell Quartet playing tunes by Nat King Cole and more. I'm sure that will be great. And Music on the Hill, put on by St. John's College, reminds us that parking is limited, but there is a free shuttle between Museum Hill and the college. You can bring a picnic, you can buy food from Walter Burke Catering and Sprouts, the farmer's market store, as they call it. I don't think it's quite as wonderful as our own farmer's market store, but it's a good store. That's Music on the Hill.
And I got a note from Joyce Harrington saying that there is a trunk show tomorrow at 11 a.m., 11 to 1, at Santa Fe Fabrics, which is at 1100 Don Diego Avenue. I think it's right across from the Santa Fe Baking Company, yeah. And she's a local fashion designer, and so she will be presenting Santa Fe-style designs and vintage ethnic clothing from around the world. Refreshments by Dulce.
Dulce, yeah, very good. Here's some more teen theater. That seems big in Santa Fe this year. I don't know, maybe it always has been. West Side Story will be performed by the Teen Ensemble at the Santa Fe Performing Arts Armory for the Arts Theater at 1050 Old Pecos Trail. West Side Story will be performed on July 19th, 20th, and 21st at 7 p.m. Obviously, the great musical.
This by one's Leonard Bernstein?
Yes. Yes.
And a while ago, we had a gentleman on the air who did this one-man performance about Leonard Bernstein.
Hershey Felder.
And one of the things that came out in that performance was the irony of somebody being such an incredibly serious and prolific classical musician, and what he's remembered for is There's a Time for Us.
A musical of
a
all
musical.
Things.
Yeah. Maria, all those songs from West Side Story.
I'm glad he brought it to us, but I understand where he's coming from. He did a lot more that we learned about in his performance that I had never known.
That was very enlightening. If you can pull them off, those one-man shows, one or one-woman shows, can be so engaging.
He had the audience just mesmerized, just watching his every move and listening and at the edge of their seats, really, which is amazing to do also for a couple of hours straight, you know?
Yeah, and playing the piano. I mean, it was, Anyway, that's over.
We recommend him, but that was a while back. Maybe we'll bring him back. Another play that is at the Armory for the Arts is James and the Giant Peach by the City Different Players.
Aw.
This, I don't think that's a children's or teen ensemble, but it is, of course, a great children's story, loved by adults as well, by Raoul Dahl, and this one's dramatized by Richard R. George. It's at the Santa Fe, the Armory for the Arts Theater, and it is July 18th at 7, and then again July 20th, 21st, 27th, and 28th at 2 p.m. I'm sure that's a great family-friendly play.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you want to send listings to be read on Speaking of the Arts, you can send them to radiocafe@ksfr.org. And please keep it simple, who, what, when, where, website, phone number, day of the week, time of day, all that stuff. And if you can, send it a day or two before the Friday you want me to read it. If you send it 2, 3, 4 weeks in advance, it's a lot less likely that it will get on the air, because then the inbox gets so very full that it kind of gets lost. And that's how it is. So please feel free to send in your listings.
Should people put any special subject line or anything like that?
They could put Speaking of the Arts, but they don't have to. But okay. That would work.
Could maybe be helpful.
Because we get so many emails. I have, let's see, what am I up to in my inbox now? I think the number is a grand total of 10,969 messages.
Wow.
Of which 3,555 are unread.
How many are unread? 3,000?
Yeah, 3,500.
You could spend a week doing that, but...
No, I know.
I hope you don't, because we need you on the air.
You have to take a vacation in order to catch up with your email. That's how these things are, and it's fine. But just for being practical, send in your listings a day or two before you want them read.
Here's something going on at Site Santa Fe. There's a public opening tonight that sounds pretty cool. It's an artist called Enrique Martinez Celaya. The exhibit is called The Pearl. In this exhibit... Martinez Celaya transforms almost 12,000 square feet of Site's gallery spaces into an immersive environment with painting, sculpture, video, photography, waterwork, sound, writing, his first musical arrangement. I mean, it's obviously multimedia and really all-encompassing. Site Santa Fe will turn into this exhibit installation. It opens tonight from 5 to 7 is the public opening, and there was a members opening earlier this week. I've heard it's very cool. And Site Santa Fe, for more information, sitesantafe.org.
And they have all kinds of amazing stuff there. They are so, I mean, they do such a professional job at Site Santa Fe. It's a great space, and it gets so completely transformed from one exhibit to the next. You don't even know you're in the same building once you go in.
Everything's so very different, yeah.
Yeah.
The rail yard, it's got a great location in the rail yard where all kinds of things are going on every weekend, from the farmer's market to evening concerts, free movies like Rocky Horror Picture Show this weekend. And it's, as I always say, the rail yard's a great, great center, other plaza almost for Santa Feans.
Yeah, it is a very nice place. They've transformed it. When I first moved to Santa Fe, it was a kind of dusty old railroad tracks, which I actually liked also.
But it was a true rail yard, an old.
Yeah.
And it still is, I suppose. I live near there and hear the trains every morning and night.
Well, it's we hear the music, so that means it's just about time to go. Diana Delling is with the Lensic, Santa Fe's Performing Arts Center, and she's with us speaking of the arts. My name is Mary Charlotte. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. We're streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dot Foil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafemc and on Twitter at radiocafemc. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, jazz. So Diana, what are you doing this weekend? Are you going to any of these fabulous events?
I am. I don't even know which so far. I'm planning on going to Folk Art Market for a while. I do want to catch a couple of films. Probably we'll only have time for one, but I'll be heading to the CCA, I'm sure.
Excellent.
I'm behind on my films.
I know. Well, I've been away for a little bit. It's great to be back here in the Santa Fe Baking Company and in Santa Fe. And everybody, drive safely, be happy, wear your seatbelt, have a great weekend, and we'll see you next time. Adios.